Welcome back to the show, everyone. Today, we're diving deep into a fascinating paper that explores the very limits of our understanding in a field that's critical for public health and the success of new products. I'm joined by Jackie Bake, the lead researcher on this paper, and Dr. David Smith, a leading epidemiologist, to discuss the limits to learning a diffusion model. Thanks for having us, Sarah. This paper looks at the fundamental challenge of accurately forecasting the spread of epidemics or the adoption of new products using simple diffusion models. These models are powerful tools, but we found that there are inherent limitations to how quickly and accurately we can learn from them. So, Jackie, let's start with the basics. Can you explain what diffusion models are and why they're so important?
Sure. Imagine a new product launching, like a smartphone. It might start with a few early adopters, but then more people start buying it based on the influence of others. This is a simple example of diffusion, how something spreads through a population. Diffusion models are mathematical tools that describe this process. We use them to understand how diseases spread, how products are adopted, and even how ideas and information spread on social media.
That's a helpful illustration. So we're looking at these models to understand and predict the future, but the paper suggests there are limits to what we can learn.
Exactly. The paper focuses on two common diffusion models, the SIR model used for epidemics and the BAS model used for product adoption. We found that even with these simple models, there are fundamental challenges in estimating the size of the population that's affected, which is a key factor for accurate forecasting.
David, as an epidemiologist, does this resonate with your experience? Have you encountered these difficulties in real-world epidemic modeling?
Absolutely, Sarah. The paper's findings are very much in line with what we see in practice. For example, in the early stages of an epidemic, we often have limited data, and we may not know the true size of the susceptible population. This uncertainty can make it difficult to estimate the spread of the disease with confidence. It's like trying to predict the trajectory of a rocket launch with incomplete information about its fuel capacity.
So, Jackie, what is the core result of the paper? What's the specific difficulty in learning the population size?
Our main result is that we need to collect a surprisingly large number of observations proportional to the population size raised to the power of 2/3 to accurately estimate the population size. This means that for larger populations, we have to wait until the diffusion process is already quite advanced before we can make reliable predictions. For example, to get a good estimate of the population affected by a virus in a city of 10 million people, we might need to observe tens of thousands of infections, which can take a significant amount of time.
That's a significant barrier, especially in the context of an epidemic. Why is learning this population size so difficult compared to other parameters?
Imagine you have several different diffusion processes, each with a different population size. In the beginning, the curves representing these processes look very similar. Think of it as several cars starting on a racetrack, but with different amounts of fuel. In the early stages, they all speed off at a similar pace. It's only later, when they run out of fuel, that the differences in their population size become evident. Our analysis shows that noise in real-world data makes it extremely difficult to distinguish these curves early on, and we need to wait until we have a significant number of observations to effectively differentiate them.
That analogy really helps to visualize the challenge. David, does this limitation affect how you approach epidemic modeling in practice?
It certainly does, Sarah. This research reinforces the importance of incorporating multiple data sources to make more informed decisions. While infection data alone can be limited, combining it with other information, like seroprevalence studies, which test for antibodies in a random sample of the population, can provide more accurate estimates of the actual population size. It's like having a fuel gauge for each car on the racetrack, allowing us to understand their fuel capacity and predict their trajectory with greater confidence.
So, what are the practical implications of these findings for forecasting and decision-making?
This research highlights the challenge of making accurate forecasts early in a diffusion process. We can't rely solely on infection trajectories to predict the eventual outcome, especially for large populations. It's like trying to predict the final score of a game based only on the first quarter's results. To make more reliable forecasts, we need to use additional data sources or develop more sophisticated models that incorporate additional factors, such as changes in behavior or interventions. David, how do these findings change the landscape of epidemic modeling and response?
This research emphasizes the need for a more multifaceted approach to epidemic modeling. We need to acknowledge the limitations of single data sources, like infection data alone, and prioritize the collection and integration of complementary data sources. It also encourages us to be cautious about making predictions too early in an epidemic, as they are likely to be inaccurate and unreliable. Instead, we should focus on robust planning and flexible strategies that can adapt as we gain more information.
That's a crucial point, David. Jackie, what are some of the limitations of this study, and what are some promising areas for future research? Our study focused on simplified diffusion models. Real-world epidemics and product adoption processes are much more complex and involve factors like heterogeneous mixing, changing behavior, and interventions. This complexity requires further research into more realistic models that can capture these intricacies. We're also exploring the potential of incorporating machine learning techniques to enhance our forecasting capabilities. So, David, where do you see this research leading the field of epidemiology?
This research provides a valuable framework for understanding the limits of our modeling capabilities and for guiding future research. By recognizing these inherent limitations, we can develop more robust and comprehensive models that integrate a wider range of data sources and insights. This will lead to more accurate predictions and better informed decision-making in response to public health challenges.
That's a great note to end on. Thank you both for sharing your insights. Jackie and David, we've learned so much today about the complexities of diffusion models and the importance of pushing the boundaries of our knowledge to make better predictions for the future. Thank you, Sarah. It was a pleasure to be here.
It was a valuable discussion. Thank you for joining us.